Okay, gentlemen, hello, how are you? It is so nice to see you all. This is the first of two review sessions. Today is December 24th. Tuesday we're going to review for the final. The final will begin on Gimel Amud Aleph, towards the top, but not exactly at the top, by Shmuel, the Shmuel and his three cases where you could be putter, where we have putter umutter. So let's look at the Gemara. The Gemara says that Shmuel says all the putters on Shabbos is putter val aser, except for three cases. And one of these three cases, Svi, Nachash, and popping a pimple. Now, when we talked about those cases, Tosus here discussed, Tosus bar mehani, excuse me, Tosus bar mehani talked about why are you saying, Mr. Gemara, Mr. Shmuel, that there are only three cases that you're pater and mutter. I have a number of other cases that are also pater and mutter. So Tosus goes through the number of the cases. One of them is cases of chol sheyesh bo sakana, where of course you're allowed to violate. Tosus says, no, that's we don't have to tell you that. Because that's obvious that if it's a chol sheyesh bo sakana that you're pater. Then Tosus talks about other cases that you're pater, and some of them are, oh, that's only in a braisa, we're only talking about mishnayos. And then Tosus says something very important in the middle, and he says that the reason, the logic for this heter of mapis mursa, Tosus explains, is the reason why it's mutter is really it's a malacha. Does he bring a malacha shenet tzvichlik over here?
Yeah.
Right over here, he says it's a
second to line line. It's also the amar malacha
shenet. Right. He says here that it's a malacha shenet tzvichlik gufa, and once it's a malacha shenet tzvichlik gufa, then it's only aser derabanan. Once it's aser derabanan, malkum tzar is going to make it mutter entirely. That is a big yesod in Yisurim Drabanan, that lo gozru b'makom tzar, and that's the reason why we're allowed to take medications if we have a really bad headache, chas v'shalom. If you have a little minor, you know, dull headache, so you can't. But if it's a bad headache, so it's a drabanan to take medicine. But b'makom tzar, lo gozru. Similar to mapis mursa. Now, we pointed out, let's talk about malacha shenet tzrich l'guf. Let's think about just a whole bunch of examples. This would be a good case. I would just say, tell me in this malacha how you could have a malacha shenet tzrich l'guf of this malacha. So let's go through a few examples, and then either I'll ask you these, or I'll ask you to apply the logic to your own examples. By choresh, which is digging a plowing, so if you dig a, this is an explicit gemara, if you dig a bar, not because you want the ditch, but you want the dirt. So there, you're doing a malacha not for the purpose of getting the bar, but for the purpose of just having dirt available to, I don't know, sprinkle in your garden. Similarly, if you're putting out a fire to save your wealth and save your house from being burnt down, it's not that you need the fire extinguished, it's that you need your house saved. That's also malacha shen tzrich l'gufa. If there's a fire, this I don't think we mentioned explicitly, but let's say you live in a place where there's no eruv. And there's a fire in the house, and God forbid, somebody could be, you have two choices. You could take the kids outside, carry the baby outside, carry whatever, somebody outside, or put out the fire. Well, carrying the baby outside is a malacha. If the baby doesn't walk, it'll be hotzah daraisa. Putting out the fire will only be drabbanu, because it's a malacha shenet tzrich l'gufa. You're putting out the fire to save somebody, not because you actually need the fire out. So it'll be better to put the fire out than to rescue the baby and bring the baby outside. Another case of malacha shenet tzrich l'gufa is let's say there's an animal running after you, there's a lion running after you, so you want to kill the lion. You're not killing the lion because you need, like in the Mishkan, the skins of the lion. You just want to kill the lion because you don't want it to kill you. So that's shenet tzrich l'gufa. And if you're washing your tail to your dime at a picnic on the ground, so even though it ends up watering the ground, but your intention is not to do it on your dime, So those are all cases of Malach Hashem and Tzricha L'Guf. At a picnic, correct. You're having a Shabbos lunch in your backyard. So doing a Tehillat Yadayim on the grass.
That's Malach Hashem and Tzricha L'Guf because
your intent
was not to water the
grass. Your intent was to do the Tehillat Yadayim. The grass ended up getting water. Maybe you say it's like a psik reisha.
It's
also Darabana. All these cases that we just mentioned are also Darabana. Correct.
But would that
be mutter in the Mitzvah? No, I'm not saying it's mutter. It's not mutter. I'm just telling you why it's not going to be Daraita, Zareya.
But isn't didn't Rabbi Zolgad
also in a Mitzvah case? You're asking a good question. I don't have an answer for you right now. I guess that's this is the only way to do a Mitzvah. Yeah, you could do them somehow, some other. Okay, so while we're in the sugya of Malach Hashem and Tzrich L'Guf, we have to know that it's actually a machloket Tanaim. Who's the one who says that we've been assuming? I mean, that whenever we discuss Malach Hashem and Tzrich L'Guf, we only discuss it because it's not a regular malacha. Who's the one who says that? That's Reb Shimon. According to Reb Yehuda, Malach Hashem and Tzrich L'Guf is a regular chayev, and it's a daraisa, it's chayev like any other malacha. There's no significance. No weakness. And in fact, you should know, the Rambam Paskins like this, Rabbi Yehuda, he's Machmir, and Hosm Lach Hashem Tzrich L'Guf is Chayev, which when you become Rabbanim, God willing, in a few years, and you have to give certain people leniencies, you always have to realize that it's not going like the Rambam, because the Rambam is, basically, whenever you ask a guy to do something, it's a Drabbanan, you do it, it's a Lach Hashem Tzrich L'Guf, it's a second Drabbanan, you add a Drabbanan and a Drabbanan, you come out with leniencies, but according to the Rambam, you're not going to have that. There's machloket Tanaim, and there's machloket how we paskin. Which one of those Tanas we paskin like? Rabbi Shimon holds Malach Hashem and Tzrich L'Guf is only Aser D'Rabbanan. That's how everybody usually paskins. You should just know that there was this other Tana, Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malach Hashem and Tzrich L'Guf is basically meaningless. It's Chayiv Daraita, just like any other Iser Daraita. And the Rambam follows Rabbi Yehuda, Lahachmir. And Shmuel goes like Rabbi Yehuda? Okay. I don't remember. Here. Shmuel doesn't go there. He holds the other. We'll see it. We'll go there soon. Now, why does Rabbi Shimon, which is like most of us assume, la halacha, why? What's the reason why Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Gufa is only Aser D'Rabbanan? So here we had that Tosfos on what daf was it? On the Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph, which you should go through, and that's the chart that you have on your Marmakomos sheets. You remember the big Tosfos, the first 12 lines? It looked scary, but it wasn't as scary as it looked. We went through like 7 or 8 different, how many boxes are there? 9 different boxes? Yeah. All the different boxes, and Tosfos explained why all those different Gemaras of Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Guf, they're all, what was Tosfos' Shita? Why are they not Daraita? What's unique about them? What makes them, what defines it as Malach Hashem Tzrich L'Guf?
They were done for another reason that it was done for the Mishkan.
Perfect, that it was done for a different reason than in the Mishkan. Your Josh are saying like Rashi, right? But we have machloket. What the definition of malacha shen tzrich l'guf is? Tosfos says it's any malacha that this form of the malacha was not done in the Mishkan. And Rashi says that it's a lack of melechet machshevet. Melechet machshevet is that I do my malacha with a certain intention, and if I don't have that intention, I'm lacking in the intention to do the malach when I'm doing the act that I'm doing. It's a lacking in my melechet machshevet because, again, nothing to do with the Mishkan, and therefore.
So Rashi saying why it's mutter is because it's
Rashi says the reason why something is considered melech Hashem Tzrich L'Guf is because it lacks in the melechet machshevet requirement that melechet d'oraisas have.
And then Tosfos would say no, just because it's not happening in the Mishkan.
Because it wasn't done the way it was done. The act you just did wasn't like the way we did it in the Mishkan.
But isn't it the same thing? At the end of the day, it's going
to... Well, if you have your chart in front of you, you look at any given one of those cases on your chart, there are two reasons why that's putter. Tell me one of the cases.
Malacha was not done in the Mishkan. Malacha was not done in the Mishkan.
Tell me one of the cases.
Hotzat
Hamet. So according to Rashi, the reason why your putter on Hotzat Hamet to get the dead body, there's a smelly body here, is because when I don't want the dead body out over there on the porch, I just don't want him smelling out my living room.
If I want him out on the porch, that would be a Malach Machshavah, because that's correct. What was done in the Mishkan?
No, because that's Malach Machshavah. I want the body over there. Okay. According to Rashi, I just want to get rid of this body. I don't want the body sitting here. It smells out my living room. So I don't want it here. That's why, according to Rashi, it's Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa. According to Tosfot, the whole reason why Hotzah is Aser was to bring something to get to a destination. When you take a body outside, it's not to bring it to a destination. And therefore, it's not like the Hotzah that was done in the Mishkan. Again, keep in mind, the difference cannot be vast. Right. Because you have 9 cases, and Rashi says all of them are for reason A. And so I said all these are for reason B. So obviously, reason A and B
are not
apples and tomatoes, apples and oranges. Okay, so Be'ezat Hashem, you look through the Tosot. With the chart, going through the Tosot will be pretty easy. I think you should review with the chart. The chart will definitely be helpful. Maybe. Yes.
I have trouble understanding this concept of the Malacha and Machshavah.
Okay, so let's.
It really seems like the same thing as.
Okay, Malacha and Machshavah means that your action has to be a purposeful, constructive, thought out action. I don't care about
thought out to be.
The act that I'm doing is to get to the result that I'm doing. I'm taking a body outside to the porch because I want the body on the porch, not because I don't want the body in my living room. When I want to kill an animal, that means I want the animal's death, not that I want to protect myself from being stung. When I want to protect myself from being stung, I mean that's something about. I don't want to do an act of killing. I just want to protect myself. I could have protected myself with bug spray. I could have protected myself by putting myself in a net. Or I'm protecting myself by killing the animal. So I don't need to kill the animal. Tosa says, we're not looking at your brains of why you're doing something. We're just saying, is the goal of what you're doing the same goal that was in the Mishkan? They did it for, they killed animals for getting the skins. So are you killing this animal to get its body parts? If you're not doing it to get its body parts, then it's only Malach Hashem and Tzrich Legufa. That's Tosas.
Okay.
Do we have to know that?
What?
Do we have to know the 8 different cases, the different parts of Malach Hashem?
I don't even know what all they all are. I mean, let's think. What are the different parts in Lechet Machshavet?
I don't remember.
The fact, if Psik Reisha is one, has to be on purpose, meaning an Apashogeg.
Can that be Melachashis Enes Shechel
Gufa? Right.
Pater's destructive acts.
If it's destructive, right. If it's Mekalkel, then you're Pater. Only if it's for constructive acts.
It has to be permanent, no?
Perhaps permanent, I don't remember. That could be.
What if you do Mekalkel in order to kill? That's
why all the cases of things like ripping in the 39 Malachot will only be to rip so that you could sew it up. Or to destroy a building is only a Malacha, so if you will build on top of that.
What if you didn't build on top of it and you just didn't order to build, but you didn't end up building a building?
I'll probably, I assume that would be the Raisa. Okay. This concept of Malachat Machshavet that is the source for the Ptur, the source that makes Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa only be Drabanan, according to Rashi, that's the reason why Malach Hashem Tzrich Legufa is Drabanan. So, where does it say in the Torah that Shabbos Malachas have to be Malachas Machshavas? It doesn't. Where does it say the word Malachat Machshavet?
By the Mishkan.
By the Mishkan. The Mishkan says that the construction of the Mishkan should be a well thought out, professional, a constructive building design. And therefore, we of course have our hekesh, our connection, correlation between Shabbos and the Mishkan, because the Torah puts them right next to each other. That teaches us that also the melachas on Shabbos are only chayev if they are melachas machshavas. Now, we took a side, we took a tangent for a minute, and we talked about, let's look at Tosfos here. Tosfos says, Tosfos Hatzad says, the reason why Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa, the reason why Shmuel in our Gemara says that you're Pater in these cases, like Mapis Mursa, why is Mapis Mursa Mutter? We explained before that it happened, it became Mutter with two steps. First, we knocked it down to be a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. I don't need pus. I'm not trying to collect pus. I just want to get rid of the pimple on my face.
Is that which one are we here? Hatzad?
Yeah, we're going to do Hatzad. I'm just going to mention something from Hatzad. So we said that how does Mapis Mursa become Mutter L'chatchila? First, I knocked it down to Nisa D'Rabbanan because it's a Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. Because I don't need pus. I'm not making a pus collection. Rather, I just want to get rid of the pimple on my face or the blister on my foot. And then it's Drabban. And once it's Drabban, we make it Mutter for Makom Tzar. So in other words, in order to make it Mutter, you have to say that it's Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. The problem is that Shmuel somewhere else, Paschas like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayev. That's Tosfos' question. I want to talk about the Rambam for a minute. The Rambam writes, like I mentioned before, that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayev. Thank you. The Rambam paskens, like Rabbi Yehuda, that Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayev. If that's the case, you can't start the ball rolling for Mapis Mursa to be Mutter. We just explained that Mapis Mursa is only Mutter because you made it a Drabban. And once it's a Drabban, we'll be Mekel, will permit it lechatchila b'makom tzar. But according to the Rambam, that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav de'oraita, so you can't knock it down a step. So Mapis Mursa should be also Chayav. The problem is, we have a stira in the Rambam, a contradiction in the Rambam. The Rambam, on one hand, paskins lahachmir, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav, yet he paskins that Mapis Mursa is Mutter, like our Reb Shimon. You're saying what he should have said. But what does he actually say? We have a contradiction in the Rambam. The contradiction in the Rambam is, on one hand, he paskins Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav. On the other hand, he paskins that Mapis Mursa is Mutter, and I thought Mapis Mursa could only be Mutter if it's a...
Even the
Rabbanan. He holds it's Mutter entirely, just like Shmuel said, like Aaron Gemara says, Mapis Mursa is Potter, Ava Mutter.
So it's like Reb Shimon or Shmuel, Rambam.
Feels like Reb Shmuel. That is Potter, Mutter.
Okay.
That's Mutter entirely. So we wanted to know how to resolve this contradiction in the Rambam. So the Magid Mishnah told us an answer, who told us, and this, by the way,
Magid
Mishnah is a commentary on the Rambam. This same question is going to go on hunting the Nachash. Why am I allowed to hunt the Nachash? Because hunting the Nachash, I'm not trying to get myself a snake skin belt. I don't need his skin. What am I trying to do? I'm trying to get rid of him so he doesn't annoy me. So it's only Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And then it's Malkam Tsar. So that's a Dravonan, which becomes Mutter. But according to the Rambam, Malacha Shein Tzrich L'Gufa is Chayav. So it would never be Mutter. Yet he also is Mekel. He allows you to...
By Nachash
also he's Mekel. And says it's Mutter. So it's not the... If it's Pekuach Nefesh, that's certainly true. Even if it's not Pekuach Nefesh, you're also allowed to take care of the Nachash. So we have these two identical contradictions in the Rambam. So the Magen Mishnah suggests that the reason why the Rambam... Oh, you're right. For the Nachash, the Rav Nagamisha says, the reason why the Rambam permits the Nachash is because it's Pekuach Nefesh. Like you said, Yossi. Excellent. Mr. Delmani from Great Neck, who's graduating this semester and going to have a great job in finance very soon. Fabulous, Yossi. What did he say? He said a nice idea. He said, why is it mutter to pop the pimple? What did we think popping the pimple was? We thought it was binyan or... Yeah, binyan, you're making an opening. He says, no. He says, the problem with popping the pimple is that you're, when you pop the pimple to make an opening, that is not bona.
No, but what I,
that's because it's makke b'patish.
Makke b'patish.
Right. But if you do it not to have the stuff come in and out, then it ends up that you're not being makke b'patish, so there's no prohibition. When do we talk about malacha shenu tzricha gufa? When I do a binyan, that I did a binyan for this reason, for that reason, malacha shenu tzricha gufa, ena tzricha gufa, then the Rambam might say you're chayav. But if we say that, what did you do? Makke b'patish. You put the finishing touches on a doorway. You made a doorway be able to function as a doorway. That's great, but if you didn't make it function as a doorway, then you didn't do the makke b'patish at all. So there was no malacha done whatsoever. It's not that you did a malacha, but you did it only in a drabbanan way. Says the Magen Mishnah, it was entirely not a malacha because it wasn't makke b'patish.
Why is it not makke b'patish?
Because makke b'patish is you put a finishing touch on something to make it functional. If you didn't set up, pop the pimple in a way that makes the door, you didn't make anything functional. So there's no malacha involved whatsoever.
Basically, he's saying that the reason popping a pimple is prohibited in the first place.
If you would pop a pimple, then it would be prohibited. It would only be if you would make it as a doorway. If you do it without making it a doorway, meaning to allow air in, allow drainage and air to come in. If you don't make it into a doorway, what malacha did you do?
Mm-hmm. But does everyone agree that the door, making it a doorway, is asur?
That's a gemara, yeah.
Yeah, that's a gemara.
Okay, that's the end.
Rambam holds that this piece of gemara is actually a lacha, not an explanation
correct.
Of the Mishnah, whatever, how to read the Mishnah. No,
correct.
It's a
he rules
piece
like
of a lacha.
Right, correct. Okay, that's the end of malacha shenu tzricha gufa. Let's go on and go to the next points. We have a Gemara here on 3a, Gimel Amud Aleph, that says that our Mishnah does not include, our Mishnah only includes in the second half of the Mishnah. We're talking about the Isurim Drabanan. We only count Isurim that are Ate Lidei Chiyuv Daraita. But those Lidei Chiyuv Chatat. But those Isurim Drabanan that are Lo Ate Lidei Chiyuv Chatat Lo Ketani. Rashi says, what does it mean? What are the ones that we count? Which Yisroel Drabbanan do we count? Only?
Akira's.
Because Akira's can potentially come to an Iser Daraita. We had a beautiful Sfat Emet over here, Anarashash, that we looked at inside actually, who suggested a different reading. You remember we talked the last half of the semester, we talked about Chatzi Shir?
Yeah.
So Sfat Emet suggests, you know why maybe what this Gemara could be saying? Yeah, when you do an Akira, it's going to be Chazilitz Terufe. Because you could do a Hanacha afterwards. So Chatzi Shir, I'm sorry, an Akira, which is the beginning, which is step A, you could add on to that step B and do an Isidar Isis, Chazilitz Terufe. So Chatzi Shir, which is the beginning, it can come to a Chiyuv Chatat. So therefore, Akira's could be Daraisa. Again, we know that Rashi says that if you just do an Akira, or just do an Anacha, it's of course only Darabana. But at least these two commentators, the Sfat Emet and the Rashash, are suggesting a new reading in this Gemara. When the Gemara says, we only count things that come to a Daraita, what that means is, we only count things that are Daraita, meaning Chatzi Shir, an Akira. An Akira, and only an Akira will be a Chatzi Shir, because it's Chazilitz Terufei, it could be combined with something afterwards, and could come to a Malacha Daraita, as opposed to Hanacha, which can't be joined with anything, because it's only part two. You don't have the part one. So part two can never come to an Isur Daraita. So according to that reading, the words Ati Lidei Chiyuv Daraita could read very literally. Our Mishnah only counts things that are really Doraita, fully Doraita, and also things that are Doraita with cause of Chatzi Shir, that they would come to an Isur Doraita if you would do it, and therefore they themselves, Akiras, would be Chatzi Shir Asur Doraita.
He holds Akiras Chatzi Shir.
He's suggesting that, again, barring the fact that he's bows his head to Rashi and realizes that Rashi said that that's not the case. But on his own, one...
not the case. Mishnah says Shnei Pturim.
Shnei Pturim. So he suggests that you could read Pturim means, yes, you can. Pater means you don't get any punishment from it. Pater can still mean Asa Doraita. If Chatzi Shir, there's no punishment for it. Chatzi Shir doesn't bring a korban. Chatzi Shir doesn't get punished by Beit Din. Chatzi Shir has no practical punishment. So Pater
can mean Asur of Chatzi Shir.
Chatzi Shir is only...
You're not pater from a punishment on Shammai. It's funny. I mean,
if you violate an Issur D'Rabbanan, you're also not pater from a punishment from Shammai. If I violate an Issur D'Rabbanan, Hashem will also take care of me. Okay. That's just a nice reading of the Gemara, not like the Rishonim, and therefore he bows his head and realizes that he's probably wrong, but suggesting, it's a very nice reading in the Gemara of Peturi Da'ati Buhui De'chiv Chatat Kachashiv, like an Akira, which could bring to Achiv Chat, and therefore it's Asur Chatzi Shir, but regularly it won't be. Then, besides Rashi, how many other, we had a total of four explanations, besides this explanation that I, you know, is just sort of cute and very beautiful. We had four explanations of what this line means. Rashi, if you remember, had two explanations. What Peturi, if everyone looks at Rashi on Daf Gimel.
Is this in the Maariv?
I'll tell you. That Rashash, and no, that was not. No, we're on page 13 and a half. What I did for page 13 and a half was I took the emails that I emailed you. There was one week that instead of giving you a sheet, I emailed you emails. So I sort of combined those emails and put it on this sheet. So you don't have to reference your emails. So on page 13 and a half, we're up to Rashi Pture. Okay? So now if you look in Gimel Amud Aleph, the Rashi on the right side of the page, Peturei da'atibihu de'chiv chatat, Rashi says, Akirot. That was the first explanation. Then Rashi, at the end of Rashi, suggested another explanation. What kinds of Issur D'Rabbanans do we count? Only Rabbeinu Omrim, putting your hand inside. So that, if you look at Rashi carefully, he's not talking about carrying the item over the border from Rishut HaYachat to Rishut HaRam. He's saying, whoever stuck their hand out first, that's the beginning of the game, that's the starting point, that's the one that we're going to count in our Mishnah.
That's even because if the hand is in the same Rishut as the person.
No, it has to be an extension of the hand. Yeah, extending it to the other Rishut. The opposite of what you said.
Any extension of the hand to a different Rishut is what we're talking.
That is going to end up with being, that's going to end up there will be a carrying. So the first person who stuck his hand up, that's what we're counting. So you could go through on your own. Tosus has a problem with that. It just doesn't work in the Mishnah is not going to end up being parallel. And therefore Tosus says a third pshat. He said, what does it mean? Peturei da'ate buhuli dechiyav chatat? Right, the actual carrying, the actual act of carrying. We're not looking at the Akira, we're not looking at the Hanacha, we're not looking at the first person to stick out their hand. We're talking about, we're counting what? And this, I think, to my mind, is the easiest to understand conceptually. Who did the act of Hutzah? The act of Hutzah, that's the one that we're going to count.
That's
Tosus said. And the fourth pshat was the pshat of the Ramban, I believe, who said, and some other Rishon, who said that we are counting the Hanacha, the opposite of Rashi, the exact 180 opposite of Rashi. He says, because what is it that is atil di chiyuv chatat? What is it that brings right on its heels the chatat? What's the last thing you do that right when you do that? Chatat, finishing it off. That's the Hanacha. So we have four pshatim. Again, What does Pturi Da'ati L'Behuli De'chiv Chatat mean?
Akira.
Rashi says it means the Akira.
Yeah.
The second pshat of Rashi means the first one who sends his hand, who extends his hand. Tosa says the one who does the actual transfer, and the Ramban says it's the Hanacha.
Isn't the one who actually does the push yad the one that ends up transferring the item?
No. Because, let's say I stuck my hand out. Yes, that's true, it's the same person. But if I stick my hand out, if I stick my hand in empty, that was what we counted.
We're not counting that, we're counting the
We're not counting the fact that you put something in my hand and then I do a hanacha with it. We're doing the fact that I stuck my hand
but
in.
But it ends up being the same person.
The person, yes.
But the action that we're counting.
No.
Correct. Just to clarify in this case, we're not talking about who's like, this is a Darabanan case and both people get a Darabanan and we're just discussing which ones the Gemara is counting as the four.
Clearly, yes, correct. Clearly, both partners are Asur Darabanan.
Yeah.
But our Mishnah only, for whatever, the way he writes his Mishnayos, only wants to count one of those partners in the Issa Darabanan, where both of Shneim are Paturim. Why does he only count one of those partners? Either because he only wants to count the guy who's doing the Akira, or he only wants the guy who extended his hand, or he only wanted to count the guy who did the Hutzah, or he only wanted to count the guy who did the Hanacha.
But clearly, the Nachmina between the second part of Rashi and Tosfot?
Yes. If I stick my hand in empty, according to Rashi, that was what we counted. What was that? That wasn't an Akira, it wasn't a Hanacha. According to Tosa, we didn't count that. According to Tosa, we're only going to count when you put something in my hand and then I take it outside.
Okay.
So this is just a different...
So, alright.
It's not the same act. It's a different act.
But either way, like, even according to Rashi, if he puts his hand in with nothing in it and brings it out, that's nothing. It's only if there's something in his hand, no?
Of course.
Okay.
Okay. Now, when Rashi said that it's the Akira, Tosos had some problems with Rashi. You'll see the Tosos inside, and you'll see the problems that he had with Rashi, that if you learn that... Tosos says that if you learn... Let's look at the Tosos inside. I don't remember it so clearly myself. Ture. Ture da'ata de'chiv chata. Rashi said that we're going to count the Akiros. Tosa says I don't like that. Why? Because if you're going to count an Akira, what's an Akira? What are you counting? Tiltav Alma. You're not doing anything that has nothing to do with Hatsa. Right? If you lift your newspaper or your book in your room, you're going to count that as a something, as a violation. There's no violation involved. According to Tosa, it's really great because you're really counting the violation, the most essential part of the violation, which is the actual transfer of the object. Okay. The next point in Tosa was, according to Rashi,
it's the thing.
Right, which is too complicated for us to do right now. Tota Bahama, etc. According to the page of Klinger, second line, we're going to end up counting three Yitzios and one Hachnasa, or one Hachnasa and three Hotzas, etc., which is not going to be parallel. So, the Baal HaMor explained the second question as follows. The Baal HaMor explained the second question that according to Rashi, you're counting the Akira, right? What's the Akira? The Ani, what does the Ani do? The Ani lifts something up and puts it in the house. I'm the Ani, I'm standing outside, I lift something up, I put it in the house, and I put it down in Josh's hands. Okay? Or I lift something up and I I take that back. According to Rashi, we're talking about an Akira, that's Dirabbanan. So according to Rashi, I lift something up. Josh, come, I want to put something in your hand. I'm outside. Pretend, okay, let's say this is the doorway. I put it in Josh's hands. That was an Akira. I did an Akira. And, no, this is in my house. So stand up. Stand up high. I did an Akira.
Josh, use your seats.
I did an Akira. And it ends up going inside. Okay. Or the other case is, I did an Akira, we move back, and I bring it to Josh, and you take it from me. Okay. Both of those are Akira, I did an Akira of a Hachnasa. These are two of the same case. Why are you counting this as two cases?
This is the Balamor.
This is how the Balamor explains the question of Tosis on the Mishnah. The question on the problem, Tosis just says, it doesn't seem, you know, the cases don't seem to work out, which you'll, I don't, it's too complicated to speak
this
out.
This is the third objection to Tosfos, not the second objection. The second objection is that it's not parallel. The third objection is what the Balamor is explaining, right?
Is
that, I don't remember.
The Oud de Lo Chashiv Tarki Le Pater de Ani Ba'achas.
Yeah.
With the Asher.
Yeah. 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 Okay, so therefore they're not, they're two...
I thought it was the third explanation, actually.
The third.
Is
the third
explaining
question.
The third question.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. That was a hard point. Fine. Next section. The next section...
We have to know the Pachad Yisrael because I didn't know
the God. I'll tell that to you at the end. It's one point.
Okay. One of the other reasons also is the organization of the Mishnah.
Yes. Yeah, that's just very detailed. So, now's not the time. Yeah, now's not the time for that. The next piece of the Gemara talked about, the Gemara asked, why are Shnehem Pturin? After all, a malacha was done, mi beinayhu. Between the two people, one guy did the Akira, one guy did the Hanacha, so a malacha was done. So why are you puttered? I mean, you and I laugh when we saw that question, because we've been learning for the past 4 months that you're only chayv if you do an Akira and a Hanacha. How did we know that you're only chayv if you do an Akira and a Hanacha? Because we had that Gemara on that with all the three miyots. What daf was that on? The three miyots? You remember the Gemara with the three miyots that we did 3 months ago?
That was
for the midterm, but I'm just telling you that those three miyots, that's this Gemara right here.
Yeah,
this Gemara.
Tzadigim Alav,
thank you. Our Gemara where it says, how come Shnei Peturim, after all, you did a malacha between the two of them. And the Gemara says, because we have the pasuk that says, everybody look inside, in the middle of Gimel Amud Aleph, asks the Gemara, Yahayat Avidu Malacha Mi Beinayu. The malacha was done between the two of them. Why are you Pater? Why are Shnei Peturim? Tani Rebbe Yomer Mi'am Haras Baso Ta. Haoset Kula, Veloha Haoset Mikzata, which teaches us that you need both an Akira and a Hanacha. This is one of the three miyots. This Gemara is referencing the three miyots. Those miyots are the foundation for this whole semester, that you have to have an Akira and a Hanacha in order to be chayav. Yeah? Great. Okay. Now, let's look at the Gemara. We had one thing in the reading, at one point in the reading of the Gemara. Look inside, please, in V'ha'atavida Melachim B'minayim. So, Brother Breita, Rebbe says, by the little circle, or the little quotation from the Pasuk, Me'am Ha'aretz Ba'asata. Now look at what we say. We say two phrases. Ha'oset kula, v'lo ha'oset miktsata, right? Only if you did the entire malacha, akira and hanacha. Not if you just did part of it. So it could have stopped there. Yet he continues, yachid va'asa ta'chayav, shnai va'asa ta'paturin. Now, presumably, that's a separate halacha. That's a separate halacha that is referring to how many people... We lifted up a piano, and it wasn't just one person who lifted up a piano and took it outside. Two people lifted up the piano and took it outside. Two people did the akira, two people did the hotzah together, and two people did the hanacha together. So, why are you mixing in that halacha with the first halacha that we're trying to aim for, which is that you have to do a full malacha, an akira and a hanacha, not just an akira or just a hanacha. These are two separate halachas. Is that question clear? Why are you... when you read the Gemara, you sort of wonder, like, Mr. Gemara, what are you doing? Are you talking about the halacha that you don't need a... Your pater if you didn't do a full malacha, or your pater when two people do a malacha?
Maybe it's just quoting the whole thing,
no? It's not, but...
Okay.
So, we saw an answer. So, Tosis explains that these two lines are obviously saying the same thing. Meaning, when it says that one person is chayav and two people who do it are pater, it means two people who do, you do the first half and I do the second half, that's when we're pater, because you did half and I did half. So it's really saying the same thing. But if it's saying the same thing, then why do we want to repeat ourselves? Why would I say two times that if you do half the malacha, and then if somebody else does the other half of the malacha, you're pater? So we had a tzlach. A tzlach suggested that if I only said the first halacha, if I just said that basota, you have to do the full malacha, if you only did half, you're pater, maybe you would think that when are you pater if you do half? If you do half, and the malacha never gets finished at all. But maybe if you do the first half, and the malacha ends up getting finished by somebody else, so the malacha was done, then maybe you would be chayav on the first half. That's why I need this second half to tell me. That's why I need the second half to tell me that even if two people do a malacha together, meaning one person did the first half, a second person did the second half, you're still pater. Again, because there would be, if I only had the first line that, oh, you do malacha, a full malacha, you're chayav, if you do half a malacha, you're pater. I might think you do half a malacha, you're pater when? When the malacha never gets finished. But if the malacha does get finished by somebody else, maybe you would be chayav just on an akira. Because somebody else did the hanacha and you have a full malacha. That's why I need this second phrase of the Gemara to tell me that shnayin sha'asuos otapatur, that even if the malacha was done, but since somebody else is involved in doing it, you will be pater. That was the tzlach's answer to why we need a repetition. Okay. That is the end of that discussion of basata. And now we will... Almost finished for today. Tosa, we're going to talk about Tosa Shnehem. What did Tosa Shnehem say? Tosa Shnehem was not really important conceptually. Tosa Shnehem, video games, Pac-Man...
No,
you just spelled
Tosfot
twice. Oh, okay. So Tosu says.
I thought
Okay. So Tosu said.
Actually,
hard. Actually,
it's
only on shiny.
This
is my
friend. All the.
Tosis Shneyim. So Tosis says, this is what we did like a week or two ago. Right. Tosis, the Gemara says, Shneim Peturim. The Gemara said, Shneim Peturim. Where is this? And the Gemara asked, what do you mean? Why is Shneim Peturim? Wasn't the Malacha done between two of them? You should be Chayav. Tosa says, this Gemara's question cannot be going on the Mishnah, when the Mishnah said the word Shneim Peturim. Why not? Because it would be out of order. Because we have a Gemara later on the Avdalet or Hey that asks about the line earlier in the Mishnah. A line in the Mishnah earlier than Shneim Peturim. So the word Shneim Peturim should be analyzed by our Gemara later than that Gemara. So it must be that this Tosa says that this Gemara, this line of the Gemara where it says Shneim Peturim Namai, V'hayat Avida Malachami Benayu, must be coming on the heels of the line right before it in the Gemara, where the line right before in the Gemara said that we're only counting cases that Malacha was done, that Malacha that brings to Lidei Chiyuv Chatat, where both of them are, of course, Pater. And on that, Tosa says, on that, the Gemara says, why would both be Pater? They should be Chayav. That reading, that it flows right off the previous one, flows very well with the Ramban that we said before. The Ramban that we said before said that the case of When Tosa said, the Gemara asks, if everybody could look in the Gemara, when it says, V'hayet avida malacha mibeinayhu, look at Tosos. Tosos says, on who is this question? On the first guy, or on the second guy, or on both of them? Look at Tosos Shnehem. In the middle, the last word on the line, last few words on the line of the second line of this Tosos. Shnehem Peturim, about David Melachim Benayu. The low parech sheit chayv harishon. We're definitely never suggesting that the first guy should be chayv. Who's the only question on?
Second
guy, because the first guy, of course, you can't suggest that he should be chayv because he started something and then walked away. The second guy who finished everything up, maybe he should be chayv. That was the Gemara's question. To which we answer, no, you need to do both an akira and the hanacha. Tosa said though that we should only think that the second guy is chayv. That question that we should think that the second guy should be chayav works great if it's following off the previous line of the Gemara. Because what was the previous line of the Gemara? We're only counting malachas that ati lidei chayav chata. And what did the Rabban say that meant? Is the hanacha. So the next line is great. The next line is asking, the person who did the hanacha, the second guy, should be chayav. You're counting the second guy. In our Mishnah, our Tana only wants to count that person that is ati lidei chayav chata, meaning, according to the Rabban, Hanacha, the next line, the Gemara asks, didn't the second, Va'it Avidam Malacha Mibeinayu, shouldn't the second person be Chayav? After all, he finished off the Malacha. So according to Ramban, it just reads beautifully. That's just an important point. Okay, let's stop here for now. And before we finish, let me just say one point. There are some people who missed Sunday's shiur. Sunday's shiur, we spent a lot of time on a hashgafic point. The Gemara on the top of Gimel Medbet mentioned a halacha in Hilchas Talmud Torah that a Talmud is not permitted to ask his Rebbe on a topic that the Rebbe is not holding in. If we're learning Masechet Shabbat, you have no right to ask me a shayla in Megillah, for example, or Gittin. How do we understand that? Presumably, we understand that because the rabbis aren't, you know, rabbeim aren't perfect. They don't have, you know, they have limitations, and they're normal, and they're people, and they're mortal, and they how much can they handle? They can't know everything. The Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Shishiva Chaim Berlin, explains in a beautiful explanation, he says that the nature of why you can't ask a Rebbe on one topic when he's doing a different topic is because What makes the Rebbe great is the fact that he's able to focus. Focus, by definition, means you are completely submerged in this one topic. So by asking something else, it's not because the Rebbe is the chisaron, the weakness of the Rebbe. He might not know the other halacha. It's the opposite. It's that the Rebbe, by you asking, you're preventing the Rebbe, or you're assuming that the Rebbe is not completely submerged, and he would even be able to extract himself and answer in some other topic, which shows that the goal, meaning that the greatness of Torah is in the ability to be completely focused and not distracted by anything else, and focus only on the specific sugya, the specific mission, the specific daf or word that you're working on, pasuk, mission, whatever it is, and have complete focus on it so that you're not even able to focus on anything else. And he brings a beautiful idea that's exactly what happened in Matan Torah. Everything that happens when we learn Torah parallels the actual revelation of Matan Torah. Everything, the way we learn Torah parallels the revelation, the gilui of Matan Torah. This is all the Pachad Yitzchak, of Yitzchak Hudner. At Matan Torah, it says that, the Gemara writes, that with every dibur that Hashem spoke, the world became filled with a beautiful smell that overwhelmed the world. And then, the next dibur that Hashem says, the world filled again with a beautiful smell. And the Gemara asks, well, if the world filled with a beautiful smell the first time, so what's the point of this? The second time, what is it accomplishing? After all, the world is already filled with a beautiful smell. The Gemara says that Hashem brought a wind after the first one, brought a wind and swept away the first smell from the first fragrance, and then allowed there to be emptiness and room for the second fragrance to come and make the world smell beautiful.
So, what's the question? Why?
The Gemara's question is, how could you have two things fill the world? If the world is filled after the first dibur of Hashem, so how could the next dibur of Hashem fill the world again with a beautiful smell?
Why twice?
Well, you can only fill a cup once. You know, I filled up the cup with water, and then I filled up the cup with orange juice, and then I filled up the cup with oil. Wait a second, the cup is full already.
One is in the beginning, and the other one is in the Matan Torah.
This is all at Matan Torah. The Gemara is talking about the different phrases of Hashem. The different dibrot, from Aseret HaDibrot. Each of the Aseret HaDibrot, the world was filled with this beautiful fragrance. So the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Yitzchak Hudner, explains that that's showing us that when our Torah is being learned, it fills the void entirely. It's a complete and overwhelming experience that completely fills everything that's there. Then you need an external remover, like a wind. Hashem has to bring a wind to blow away the first fragrance. You need an external thing to remove whatever was there to enable there to be a new experience of Torah overwhelming existence. And then it has to be removed, and then there's another. So in the same way we learn Torah, when we learn Torah, or the Rebbe's learning Torah, that should be that there's complete focus on nothing. You can't, the Rebbe's mind can't even handle any other information or any other sugya because it's complete focus on this until there's Rebbe shift moves on like this separate external wind that blows the first fragrance away and enables Rebbe to do the next, fill his mind with the next topic. So that's a very beautiful machshava, not halacha, that's machshava on that gemara. Be'ezus Hashem, so we did 12 pages of my notes today, we only have 8 pages, which is the most recent stuff for tomorrow. So we did most of the review.
Tomorrow
review. Let's just take a vote now. Who does what?
11:45 review each year.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
Two choices. Yeah. Is that better than 1 o'clock? Fine. Okay. So 11:45. Do you want to bring lunch? Do you want to come with lunch at 12?
Yeah. I'm starving now.
So why don't you come? Bring lunch at 12. Why don't you bring? Well, let's start at 12. 12. Review till 12. Go to lunch. We'll start at 12:10 or something. Is that good? Okay, so 12:10 we'll start tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah, regular Seder tomorrow to review, but I want you to review. It's not so much stuff. It's one page, one amud, and a little bit on top, but it's mostly on this one amud. In terms of Tosfos, it's just this one amud.
I love you.
I love you too. Not up in the morning. I have all the midterms and what? Let's take a vote. Is there anybody who wants the test to be on Sunday?
No.
Thursday. Okay, so it'll be Thursday as scheduled.
Rabbi, open Shabbos
day.
I don't want my test.
Who wants the test back? Yossi?
I got 20.
Let's see if we can do 17, then we have to count it up. Who else wanted it?
I want to say it. Low my self-esteem on everything.
Josh, is that here? You could take it, Josh. Doug?
Yeah.
David?
Hey, was it not bad,
what?
I really thought I was going to get like a 20.
I got 20.
You want that one or you don't want it?
What?
You want it?
I got 20?
No.
I did again.
Okay.
You want me?
I don't.
Is this mine? Yes.
Yes.
You can clarify those questions to get a few extra points if you could.
Can I do it after the final?
No. Just if you want to clarify, clarify right now.
Right now?
Yeah. There are two questions to clarify.
I have to go now.
You have a class now?
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Can I do it tomorrow?
No, so take it with you and then you'll clarify it.
I have to clarify.
Yeah, so give it to me. So if you clarify, I'd like you to clarify it now.
Okay, do it tomorrow after.
Can I do it tomorrow also?
What?
Can I do it tomorrow also?
Did you see which one it was?
11, 17.
You didn't see which one.
No.
Yeah, sure. Oh, I have to go.
Why is it not a fancy shiur?
Why is it not a fancy shiur?
Because it's, whereas chetzi shiur, like Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, you're eating something, you're doing something that's asur, but you're doing a little bit of it. Over here, you're only doing half the key.
Good. Do you have a pen?
Yeah.
Good.
So it's just 115 minus all the points.
115. Baruch Hashem. Okay, 115 minus. 8, 6, 14. That's 15, okay, so that's 100. So it's 2.5.
Rabbi, isn't a cure part of Katsushi?
3, 4, and 5. That's 95. Okay.
Thank you for your gift of the extra.
You have to email me that, because I don't have it on my, I don't know if I have it. Okay? Because I think I have a different
program. Isn't Akira alone part of Katsushiur? It's the second half.
Which, let me see the question.
It's the same one that you're
saying. Oh.
Akira alone is only Durabanan.
Right.
Okay, fine. Meaning if I just go like that, right? Because we don't want someone to go in the book.
Correct.
Okay, and it's not within the category of Katsushiur. Katsushiur is when I get off and then someone else does. Which is a sur min ha-Torah.
Yeah. If I pick up something else, that doesn't fancy shir. Sure.
Yeah, so why is it? It is not. So just doing Akira alone is not in the category of fancy shir.
Oh, you're right. Chatz Shur is Asa Daraisa. I'm asking, why isn't it Chatz Shur, which would be Asa Daraisa? Why are we saying that it's only Asa Darabana? Shouldn't it be Chatz Shur, which would be Asa Daraisa?
Because don't we need to complete the whole thing for it to be a Chatz Shur? When we're talking about Chatz Shur, doing the whole entity, but just doing half with the whole completed by someone else. It wasn't that I just did half of it. Rather, in order to do the shear, I was doing half of it.
Very well. Done.
Yes. That's
how good he plays.
I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Does it say what you just said?
Yeah, but I mean, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't.
Could you email me so I could change the...
It doesn't matter. I'm not taking shit for credit, so as long as you don't fail.
Oh, okay. You don't fail.
And Rabbi, I am taking it for 3 credits, so...
So you better do really well this time.
Exactly.
You know, I graduate and get a job, buddy.
You know, yesterday threw me off so much. Yesterday, I saw you leave at the end of my day from 9:30 a.m. till 10 p.m. at the library our teacher gave us. He sent us an email in the morning with our final, and it was due at 9 p.m., and it was crazy. We had to look up fixed income security. We had to look up bonds for each problem, and like each problem had 4 humongous parts. Each problem took like 2.5 hours. So then today, when I woke up, it was like a Monday morning for me. So I thought I was in my room, we're getting ready to come at 1 o'clock. I was like, oh my gosh, this is really good.
You know what? Hashem should give you the strength to take that focus and energy and apply it to Torah. That's like we learned when a person is so focused, the greatness of a person is the ability to focus and not be distracted.
But the difference is, yesterday, the final was like, I hated it. Like, in Israel, I was able to do that in Torah and I just kind of flew by.
Okay, but it's good that you have a huge final behind you.
Yeah, it's huge, yeah. I only have, other than yours, I only have 2 left.
Really? Wow. That's very exciting. That's a great schedule.
Yeah.
Okay, take care. One, if anybody wants to type, that's good.
I hear that, that's true.
So let's pretend you get these showers on Shabbos.
You use the grump of phone?
I hear that.
Yeah,
I'm on the Shush, 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 only work by Emil and Achri, or you can buy the other Rabbanim. And then just do what you need to do. Okay. Give up one. I don't think you'll need to. Just do one, and if everyone needs a second, you'll take.
I'll back in a moment. Okay.
I really don't have any. Somebody there should. Otherwise, we go down to the base Medrash Gemara. Everybody could like spread out, make yourselves comfortable. If I could ask everyone also just not to have any phones out, it'll just make my life easier. After I give them out, I'll just give a word of instruction. Book that's over here. There are 26 questions. You only have to answer 22. Please do not. I only want to mark 22. Because if everybody does 4 extra times 40 people in class, that means I had to mark 160 extra questions. I don't want to have to do that. It takes long enough because of the nature of this exam. It's all like sentences, no short answers. So, make sure your answer book has the 26 numbers, 1 through 26. Anyone that you want to skip, just write the word skip next to it. Leave a few lines blank. Please do not just go from, do not do out of order. Every question, 1, then 2, then 3, then 4, then 5. If you're not sure if you want to do number 5, so just leave yourself half a page and go to number 6. If you're not sure if you want to do number 6, leave half a page and go to number 7. But I want everything in order. It's much easier for me, especially when I have to mark like 40 exams. So this way I don't have to jump around in each exam. Everything should be in order of the paper. Only answer 22 of them. I do not need full sentences. I just need, give me the shitas, the halacha is like this, machlokas, Rambam says this, Rambam says that, Svara is like this. That's all I need. I don't need full answers, I don't need full sentences. Just give me as much information as you can, as short as you can. I would very much appreciate if some that you write neatly. If you know that you have a terrible handwriting, I would appreciate if you either write very neatly or type. So, if you have any questions, I'm here. That's Lach Rabba. And when you return the test, if everybody right now to write their names on the question sheet, and then when you hand the test, then please give me the question sheets as well.
Do we write on the
question sheet? On the question sheet, on the top of the question sheet, write your name, and you'll hand in the question sheet with the answer.
Do we skip on the question sheet? Or
no, I don't look at the question sheet. I just want to make sure I have everybody's. But write skip and all the numbered questions on the in the blue booklet. Anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate.